There's an obsession with coffee amongst Australians, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. It's a real kind of cultural icon down here. Absolutely. It's one
And
of the
you're one of
things.
those people saying Australian coffee is the best coffee in the world?
I think that's all people saying that because it is the best coffee in the world.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer brandneuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra Michel.
Und ich bin Elias Merkel.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch ermutigen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit zu erleben. Sei es im Rahmen eines Auslandssemesters, einer Summer School oder auch eines kompletten Bachelor- oder Masterstudiums im Ausland.
Für die heutige Folge haben wir uns mit Kat de la Flora von der University of South Australia in Adelaide verabredet. Sie ist eine gebürtige Adelaide und man hat während unseres Gesprächs wirklich gemerkt, wie sehr sie ihre Heimatstadt liebt und wie gut sie sich dort auskennt. Kat hat selbst an der University of South Australia studiert und ist heute als International Recruitment, Mobility and Study Abroad Manager unter anderem Ansprechpartnerin für Studierende, die ihr Auslandssemester in Adelaide verbringen.
Deswegen solltet ihr euch vorm Anhören dieser Folge unbedingt Zettel und Stift bereitlegen, denn Kat hatte ein echtes Feuerwerk an Tipps für euch auf Lager. Wenn ihr also wissen möchtet, wofür South Australia bekannt ist, wie man sich in Adelaide am besten fortbewegt und für welchen der vier Campusse der University of South Australia Kats Herz besonders schlägt, dann solltet ihr diese Folge nicht verpassen. Ganz nebenbei erfahrt ihr auch noch etwas über die neuesten Kaffeetrends. Denn wie fast alle AustralierInnen ist auch Kat ganz verrückt nach Kaffee.
Also, los geht's. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören.
Hello, Kat. Welcome to our podcast.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
We are excited to learn more about the University of South Australia and about Adelaide, of course. But first, let's learn a little more about you. What is your role at UniSA?
Yeah, sure. So my role at UniSA is to look after all of the students who come to UniSA for a 6-month or 1-year semester abroad. And I also look after the UniSA students who travel out to different parts of the world for their semester or year abroad. So I look for students at both ends of the journey, incoming students as well as outgoing students.
That sounds like fun. What do you like most about working at UniSA?
There are so many things that I love working at UniSA. So I was actually a UniSA student. I did a Bachelor of Creative and Professional Writing many, many years ago. So it's quite cool to be able to represent UniSA, you know, my university on the world stage. That's just one part of it though. The job itself is so spectacular because I'm so passionate about the benefits of traveling, the benefits of traveling while you're a student. And I love being able to be just a small part of that experience for lots of students and get to see them before they go and once they've come back home and get to welcome students from all over the world to my lovely little town in Adelaide. And look, I get to meet amazing people from all across the planet, which is just, it's just fantastic. I'm so blessed to have such a great job, honestly.
And you get to travel places as well. So, because I know you've visited us here in Frankfurt a couple of times. Fantastic. Tell us something about yourself that often surprises people when they first hear about it. What's a fun fact about you?
A fun fact. Okay.
So that you want to share.
On the promise that you won't make me prove it, I started learning German. And one of the very first things that I learned in German was the opening verse to 99 Luftballons bei Nena.
So maybe we should make you sing that, but maybe we don't.
That, yeah, maybe.
Maybe if we have time later in the podcast, we can take you up on your German skills, but that is cool. Great. So you mentioned that you did your degree at UniSA yourself. Mm-hmm. Did you also grow up in Adelaide then, or
yes,
around Adelaide?
Adelaide, born and raised. So I've traveled far and wide, but I've never lived elsewhere. So Adelaide is definitely home.
So you're a, what's it called, Adelaidean?
Perfect, yep, native Adelaidean. Or I guess I could be an Adelaide if you like puns.
Well, that's nice, yeah. Cool. So why don't we talk about Adelaide for a bit? You know, Sydney is known as like the business and finance capital of Australia. Melbourne is often referred to as the sporting capital of the world with the Australian Open and the Formula One race and all of these things. What is Adelaide known for?
Yeah, So South Australia, which is the state that Adelaide sits within, is actually known, it's official, it's the festival state of Australia. So Adelaide is really a festival kind of city. So, and now is a really good example. So right now, like literally as we speak during the months of February and March, we're currently hosting the Adelaide Fringe Festival, the Festival of Arts. We've also got Writers Week, and this weekend coming up will be WEM Adelaide, which is a 4-week music festival. And there are festivals all throughout the year. So, you know, students are into things like music, drama, theatre, film, food, drinking, culture, like anything. There's a festival for that. So that's probably our big thing. And the other thing I think that Adelaide or South Australia is very well known for is the fantastic wine. So Adelaide is home to some of the world's best New World wine regions. And they're all located a pretty quick drive from Adelaide itself. So I'd say those two things probably.
Okay. And I think that festivals and wine do go well together. So.
They sure do.
That's great. I mean, I think both festivals and wine are definitely something that students like. But I think that students often don't have Adelaide on their radar when they first come to us. You know, they inquire about Sydney, Melbourne, maybe the Gold Coast. But then those who choose to study at UniSA, they usually come back as lifelong fans of the city. And I think we both know people who have been to Adelaide, come back, and it's like the one place that they always want to return to. What makes Adelaide such a great city, not only to visit, but also to study in? Because it's different if you're a tourist or if you're living in a place for half a year or longer.
Yeah, absolutely. The experience that you have as like a short time visitor or like actually getting to be a resident is super different. And look, I think it's fair enough that people maybe don't have Adelaide on their radar at first. It's certainly not as famous as some of the larger cities on the East Coast. And look, to be fair, Australia is a beautiful and massive country. There are so many places to see that, you know, students are kind of sport for choice in many ways. But I think there's lots of reasons why people end up kind of living in Adelaide and then just like falling for it. So in, there's some stats to back it all up. So in 2021, Adelaide was named as the world's third most livable city, or the first most livable city in Australia, which is pretty telling, I think. But once students actually live here, they'll find that it's a very kind of contemporary Australian city. People are very friendly. It's very laid back. We're right by the beach. So people kind of have that kind of nice, like laid back kind of coastal attitude. The beaches are expansive and they're right on your doorstep. We are situated just by the Adelaide Hills, which means that we're really close to things like, you know, hiking, bushwalking, nature spotting, things like that. It's not too big of a city, so students can kind of come here, be able to make themselves feel at home reasonably quickly. They don't feel kind of bogged down in a really, really big metropolis. But it's big enough that there's lots of stuff going on. So, you know, there's year-round festivals. There's always things happening. There's a pretty big nightlife. There's lots of, you know, there's lots of stuff to do as a student, as a resident. But it's still kind of got that nice, like, smallish town feel. So I think particularly for a lot of students who do come from maybe a smaller town in Europe, Adelaide's a great choice because it's exciting, but it's not overwhelming. And the lifestyle here is just really, really relaxed. I would think it's pretty typically Australian.
Hmm. Speaking of most livable city, I know that Melbourne claimed that title for a number of years before. So Melburnians must be mad about Adelaide snatching that title from them.
I think Melbourne's also a great city. I mean, look, every person will find something that they love or don't love about a specific place. I think Adelaide's fantastic because of all those reasons I mentioned before. Melbourne's also amazing. And yes, they definitely also have claimed and deserve that title. But, you know, I think Adelaide gets a bit of a look in as well.
Nice. So when you talked about festivals, I always think about or I immediately think of the weather, because I know I've been to a couple of festivals myself, and I know if the weather is not great, sometimes the festival is not all that great either. So what's the weather like in Adelaide?
So typically speaking, Adelaide has a very Mediterranean style climate. So that means we have quite long, hot and dry summers. We do have winters. It's definitely not summer all year round. It definitely does get cold here in Adelaide, but it never snows. It really goes below 10 degrees in the daytime. So it's never too cold. But yeah, so long, hot, dry summers, kind of cool, mild winters. The seasons have been pretty predictable. That being said, the last couple of maybe 6 months to a year have been a little bit odd. I'm not really sure how that's shaping up, but it's a very kind of outdoorsy city, I suppose. So when we have festivals, most of the ones that you want to be outdoors for, so say the big music festivals, there's kind of like, you know, nice, the Fringe Festival, those are all done during our summer or spring months. And then there's lots of stuff that people can do indoors during winter when it does get a little bit cooler. But I always do stress to students if I can, if they are coming down to join us in Adelaide for our semester that begins in July, August, mm-hmm. be prepared it will be colder than you expect it to be. So it's not going to get as cold here as it gets in Germany, like not even close.
That's
but,
good.
You know, students always like, oh, I'm not going to bring a wind cheater or a jumper because like I won't need it there in Adelaide. But because in Australia, it's going to be hot all year round, but it definitely gets cold. But conversely, it gets super hot in summertime. So, you know, 35 degrees, 40 degrees is not too uncommon.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So you mentioned that it's kind of an outdoorsy place. What would you say are the top three recommendations of places that students definitely must visit while studying in Adelaide?
Yeah, cool. So I know a lot of students, when they come to Adelaide, one of the first places they go to is the beach because it's just so close. It's easy to get to it. You can get there by public transport really easily. I mean, that is spectacular given how close it is. But I think for the really kind of the insider tips, I mean, for me, everything is kind of motivated by like animals and nature. So all of my tips are going to be around that. Although also wine's a pretty big motivator as well, I guess. One of my biggest things, I really love going like hiking in the hills. Uh-huh. And I went for a hike yesterday with one of my best mates, and you can go there. There's a national park called Belair National Park. There's a train that goes right there, so you can get them public transport, and you're pretty much guaranteed to spot koalas and kangaroos in the wild. So I think that's a top tip, and it's really, really close to the city itself. Getting a little bit further out, I always think, I mean, once you're in South Australia, you know, it almost be a crime not to try some nice South Australian wine. So going out to one of the wine regions, is called McLaren Vale, and it's a kind of a beautiful, you know, rolling hills. It's located right by the ocean. So that's a really nice place to go and spend some time, lots of things to do there. And then I would also say, and again, motivated purely by getting out and seeing nature, is probably doing a road trip down the York Peninsula and stopping at Innes National Park, which is a really gorgeous kind of stretch of land. Again, amazing beaches, great wildlife, and just like very spectacular, typically Australian scenery. And I just think, like, you know, you rent a camper van and you go down with a couple of mates. There's nothing better than like waking up in a camper van and the ocean's a few meters away. Like, it's just so stunning. Mm-hmm. So I think those are my kind of top tips.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
So you didn't mention Kangaroo Island.
Yeah. I love that as well. But I think that, well, I don't know, Kangaroo Island. So for those who don't know, Kangaroo Island is located a couple of hours by ferry away from the very south coast of the Fluorio Peninsula where I live, where Adelaide is located. And it's this beautiful island, like kind of like the best of Australia, kind of compressed into this small area. I've seen some pictures recently of Innes National Park. Some friends of mine have gone there recently, and I just love Innes National Park as well. But, I mean, that's a really good point because there are so many places that students could see and do. They go like further north from Adelaide, like into the outback a little bit, go further over to the west and spend some more time on the Eyre Peninsula. Like, there are so many things that you could do as a student living in South Australia. It's quite difficult to just choose only a couple to kind
of highlight. I should have asked you about the top 5 or 7 places.
Oh, like top 50, mate.
Probably. So it's good if students have a year, a full year to explore, because it's definitely more than fits into like a short vacation. So let's talk about UniSA and the study abroad program there. I know that you have traveled quite extensively in Germany, and you know that there are very different types of university here. So we have the very old and historic universities like Heidelberg and some others. And then we have the more modern, the younger universities of applied sciences that were founded in the 70s often. And then we have more recently kind of private business schools and other private institutions. Compared to these institutions, where would you say UniSA fits in?
Yeah, cool. So I think that probably, I promise I'm not skirting the question here, but I actually think it's kind of a combination of maybe the universities of applied sciences and also some of those more private business schools. So the reason I'm kind of choosing both is because, so UniSA has a very kind of career-focused pedagogy. We've got a lot of connection with industry. There's a lot of kind of the programs are designed with professionals to kind of make sure that our graduates are career ready, you know, industry relevant graduates. So kind of got a lot of focus on that practical learning, so really hands-on learning experience, which I think is quite similar to a lot of the universities of applied science in Germany. That being said, UniSA's business school is also one of the top ranked in the world. So it's one of the world's top 1% of business schools. And we've at the business school's got a double, so students might be familiar with the term double crown accreditation, which means for us AACSB as well as Equus accreditation. So business school students should kind of be reassured that the quality of education is, you know, kind of parallel to some of those fantastic business schools that they might be familiar with in Germany. However, there's also that really tangible approach to practical learning and career outcomes.
Cool. So in addition to business, what subject areas would you say is UniSA especially known for?
Yeah, cool. So UniSA is what we call a comprehensive university. So that means we've got about 200 different degree programs in lots of different areas. You know, so everything from education, architecture, pharmacy, health sciences, environmental sciences, aviation. UniSA is a member of the ATN, which is the Australian Technology Network. So we're quite strong when it comes to technology and engineering. Within our business school, I would say that marketing is absolutely a standout. We're also a really fabulous choice for students who are in creative industries or contemporary art, or anyone looking to pursue project management at master's level. There's some really cool stuff happening in that area. So yeah, very, very comprehensive. But I would say probably those last ones are the ones that really stand out.
Okay. And study abroad students can take courses in all of these areas. None of them are off limits.
Correct. That is correct. Yeah. The only, you know, as always, students just need to be careful of any kind of prerequisites, making sure they get the credits back to the home university, but no, they can definitely combine studies from different areas if they want to. No worries at all.
Okay, cool. You just mentioned marketing as one of UniSA's flagship programs, and many of the students that we work with are business students, and they might want to take marketing classes. So let's dive in here a little more. What makes UniSA such a good place to study marketing? Because I've heard this before, and I've been wondering, because I would have thought that maybe kind of going to Sydney as the business capital might make a lot of sense. But what's one of the reasons that students should choose Adelaide and especially then UniSA?
So I think this is actually a really cool area. So UniSA is home to the Ehrenberg-Bass Institute, which is the world's largest center for evidence-based marketing. We've got more than 60 marketing scientists who are making discoveries about how brands grow and how buyers behave. And it's those researchers who are actually advising boards of some of the world's largest companies like Procter & Gamble, like Nestle. So, you know, really household names that you'd all be familiar with. So it's those researchers, those advisors who are also teaching our classes. So that means that all business marketing students at UniSA really get this absolute insider knowledge into brands that is being fed to some of the biggest companies in the world. And some of the stuff they're teaching, it's really interesting stuff. It's quite fascinating. Like, it's really kind of goes against some of the traditionally held beliefs around marketing. It's really, really cool stuff that they're doing at the Institute.
Awesome.
Interesting. I wanted to touch on the different campuses that you have in Adelaide. So I understand that there are four different campuses all across town. So how do students know which one they are going to study at?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great question for students. And yeah, something that I think they should all be definitely aware of. So when students are doing their initial research, that's probably something, you know, that the information is available on the website. So it's not like we're not kind of secret about it. But of course, it helps if you kind of know what you're looking for. Mm. Most of the faculties are taught at one particular campus, right? So, you know, for example, we have four campuses. Our City West campus is home to all of our business programs and the majority of our creative industries programs, as well as architecture and laws. Our City East campus is home to the majority of our health sciences programs and construction. Our McGill campus, which is actually where I was a student, that's home to a lot of our kind of, you know, social sciences, humanities, education, psychology is taught out there. And our final campus, Mawson Lakes campus, is pretty much our STEM campus, you know, science, tech, engineering, and maths. So as a general rule, that's what we kind of suggest. It's not a problem at all, though, for students who take courses across different disciplines to also travel between campuses. So I actually was a student across two campuses. McGill was my home campus, but I also studied in the city as well for some classes. It's not a problem at all. As I mentioned before, Adelaide's not a massive city, so it's quite easy to get around just by bus or by train. Super easy. And then when students are actually designing their timetable. So once they've accepted their offer to come and study with UniSA, once they're designing a timetable, then that information is like super apparent to them when they're logging into their courses. So they can really easily choose where they want to be on a morning, or should they change their classes around to make all the classes on one day at one campus. So yeah, quite flexible there.
Got it. And just out of curiosity, do you have a favorite campus?
I have a soft spot for McGill where I study because it's kind of close to the hills. It's quite green. There has been known to be a koala spotted on campus. We have quite a soft spot for McGill campus. But the City West campus, which is really in the hub of the downtown of Adelaide, is probably like the hub campus, I guess, unofficially. It's probably got the largest student population there, and it's really close to, like, you know, pubs and cafes and shopping in Chinatown. So that's quite a cool campus to hang out at. There's some cool architecture as well.
Is that where you're based as well?
Yeah, well, my office is actually based off campus. So we are closest to City West campus, but we're about two blocks away, which is a bit unfortunate because I really would like to be in amongst the action.
Got it. Yeah, so that kind of brings me to my next question. So where do study abroad students typically live during their time in Adelaide?
It really, really varies. So we see a lot of the students that come to UniSA for a semester abroad, either semester exchange or Fringe River semester, a lot of them tend to live in student apartments or student housing in the city itself. It's not compulsory. So UniSA hasn't got any kind of university-owned accommodation, but we do help students a lot in finding somewhere to live, be that student housing, be that private rentals, you know, whatever happens to be. There's lots of help available. A lot of our very adventurous students actually choose to rent privately. So what they'll do is they'll arrive in Adelaide and they'll stay in a hostel or an Airbnb for a week or two while they find a private rental, which can often be a little bit cheaper. But I guess, you know, it's a little bit of not a risk, but I guess you've got to be quite ready. So just go with the flow straight away and make some pretty fast decisions. Housing in Australia, you know, it's getting up there. It's still reasonably affordable, but it's kind of, we haven't quite, you know, gotten to the crisis levels just yet. So student housing in Australia is not too bad. Some of the closest student accommodation is probably about a 5 to 10 minute walk from the campus. We've negotiated a special price for our study abroad students, which is $355 Australian dollars per week, which works out to about €220 per week, which is around about €800 per month. And that's for pretty much all-inclusive accommodation in a shared flat, which is middle of downtown, includes your data, includes all your bills, comes with the bedding pack. So it's a pretty decent price given the proximity to campus, the proximity to the train station, and given how social it is. And it's also really close to the pubs and the bars and things like that.
And all that fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotta so would you say students... do you have to get a car while they're studying abroad in Adelaide, or can they get around by bus and stuff like that? I know you mentioned earlier about they want to take trips, you know, a little bit outside of Adelaide, that there are possibilities of, you know, renting a van, I think you said. What's it like for day-to-day activities? Do they need a car?
Day-to-day, you can easily get around by bus and public transport, train, tram, buses, it's fine. Here's a thing about me that might surprise people. I actually can't drive a car. I haven't got a license. So I can't drive myself around the place. So I definitely think you can live here without a car. I do ride my bike pretty much everywhere. Adelaide's nice and flat, so it's pretty easy to cycle around. Look, if you wanted to get further away from the city itself, yeah, go camping. You know, it's helpful to rent a car or make friends with an Aussie that has a car. But certainly you don't need to have a car to, like, you know, get to classes, go to the pub. Everything is pretty well connected and easy to get to.
But I like the idea of renting a van. Like, is that possible? And then just do students actually do that and then just, you know, get in the van with a couple of mates and drive around, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually had a couple of students who have bought a van once they've arrived in Adelaide to have the car for the whole semester. And then, you know, drive it around every weekend. They go on little camping trips during the break, they go further afield. And then before they went back home again, they just on-sold it to the next group of students coming in. That's a great option. But yeah, if you don't want to, like, take the big effort of actually buying and then selling a car or a van, you could definitely just, like, you know, rent it to go camping, to go somewhere further out. Absolutely.
And then instead of buying a car, buy a bike.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get a fun bike and then resell it when you leave.
It's a really good idea because, look, it's an easy place to get around, but like bikes make things just that little bit easier again. So, and it's a nice place to go cycling. I can ride from my house down to the beach in about 40 minutes and it's a nice kind of cruisy ride. So, yeah, I think it's a nice way to spend a sunny day.
So Kat, I know that UniSA is very proud of its strong student services, but also of its very vibrant student life on campus. Can you share a little more about what students coming to UniSA can expect in terms of campus life?
Yeah, definitely. So I think that the campus life at most Australian universities is quite well known for being like really inclusive and quite vibrant, and UniSA is certainly no different. So from the moment that students join the community, we really want them to feel that they're part of a UniSA family and get them involved in what's happening on campus, get them making connections, because I know those first couple of days and weeks can be quite intimidating and it makes a big difference to get to meet people who either are going through the same thing that you're going through or who have been here and are kind of familiar with Adelaide and can show you around. So for orientation, and actually we've just gone through orientation week a couple of weeks ago and we're still kind of going through some of the big events around orientation. We run a couple of big welcome receptions for all of our new international students. And then we run a couple of information sessions and briefing sessions just specifically for the semester abroad and the year abroad students. Because, you know, some of the things they're going through are a little bit different. Some of the needs they might have or questions they might have will be quite specific to their programs. And also it's a really good chance to get them to meet other students who are also coming for a semester abroad, so coming for a very similar experience. We also in that same week run a kind of a buddies welcome with our UniSA buddies. And that is a little kind of a mini club of returned UniSA exchange students who have maybe been abroad themselves, had a great time, and were really grateful for the support networks they have when they were abroad. And when they've come home, they want to do the same thing for the incoming students. So we run a bit of a buddies mixer to get the students to get to know one another and just to make sure that the incoming students have an Aussie who kind of knows their way around and can introduce them to what's the way of life here in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of just the start of it. So we have a couple of weeks worth of campus fairs where there's like booths on campus, DJs, you know, free food giveaways, that kind of stuff. This coming up weekend, Study Adelaide, which is a really great organization based here in Adelaide, of course, is running Student Fest, a big party just for new students. This year we ran for the first time a music festival, a music gig, I guess, called Uni Vibe, which was quite cool. And then at the start of the semester, we also make sure we run lots of kind of mini excursions to familiarise new students with Adelaide. So they do kind of city tours as well, but they do trips down to the beach or trips to wildlife parks just to kind of make sure that students are, you know, have something to do to get them to meet and make friends. So, yeah, lots of fun things to do. As well as that, of course, during the semester, it doesn't stop. So there's lots of stuff happening, you know, on campus every week to make sure that students can be involved, meet people, make friends, and really kind of take some pride in their university because we love that.
Nice. So what would you say that, let's say, you know, the weeks after orientation, what would a typical day look like for, you know, a study abroad student at UniSA? Like, of course, they're going to class and everything, but, you know.
Yeah, of course, they're going to class the whole time.
Wake up, go to class, study, go home, eat, sleep.
Tomorrow, study some more. Oh, look, it's been many, many, many years since I was a student. I wouldn't presume to know what time is the time to wake up. students have a pretty, I'm not going to say relaxed schedule at UniSA, but I think the schedule might be, that was a surprise to some students. So students actually don't need to be on campus every day for most programs. If a student's doing three courses or four courses at UniSA in a semester, they've probably only got about between, I don't know, 15 to 20 hours per week they actually have to be on campus in class. There's lots of, you know, self-directed learning that to you outside of the classroom, but in terms of how many hours they should be on campus in classes, it's quite small. And because we're quite a large institution, a lot of the classes that we run are offered more than one time per week. So students can often, when they're designing their timetable, they can choose. I think, I've got an option of the 9 a.m. class or the 2 p.m. class. I think I'll choose the 2 p.m. class, like naturally, right? So often the students aren't actually required to be on campus super early in the morning. Not always, of course, sometimes you can't get away from it because the 2 p.m. class may be filled up faster than the 9 a.m. class. But, you know, I think a lot of the students, especially once they're here in the summer months, a couple of hours on campus, absolutely go and get a coffee because that is a must-do when you're in Australia, having some nice Australian coffee.
There's an obsession with coffee amongst Australians, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. It's a real kind of cultural icon down here. Absolutely.
And you're one of those people saying Australian coffee is the best coffee in the world?
I think that's all people saying that because it is.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Italy?
I mean, that's great. It's a very different kind of culture. Look, you're not going to knock on the table, no. But it's just a kind of a different culture around it, you know. So we kind of have we've brought it into the lifestyle. So in the Italian cafes, you come up to the counter, you order your coffee, and you maybe drink it there and you go. Here, we like take our time with it. You sit around, you have a chat. You've always got it like with you in your takeaway cup. Like it's always kind of happening.
And you guys invented the flat white, so.
And the magic also is an Australian invention.
What's the magic?
So the magic, this is the real insider tip here. You heard it here first. So a magic is, for any coffee snobs out there, a magic is the first 15 mils of an espresso shot. So the first 15 mils is the sweetest part, the strongest part. So two of those.
The ristretto, right?
And then you half fill the coffee cup with steam milk. So it's sweeter and stronger, not bitter. And not as much milk, so it's the perfect pick me up. Really nice, good over ice.
Awesome. Perfect.
I've never really come across that.
So actually. You need to travel to Australia, Elias, and then you.
No, I think you're telling me. Come down to Adelaide. We'll show you around.
Be in Adelaide. Exactly. So, but you were saying that students should definitely get a coffee. So that's one of the things. And then we got distracted by talking about coffee. Yeah. But so.
Exactly.
So they get a coffee on campus, any particular place or around campus. Do you have another insider's tip as to where they should get their coffee?
On campus or around campus, yeah. I mean, there's lots of different, there's heaps of good options on campus. I mean, especially if students are in one of, like living in the city itself or are studying on one of the city campuses, there's lots of great places there. My favorite cafe, a little shout out to the crew at Elementary Coffee. They're fantastic. They're probably a little bit about a 20-minute walk from campus. It's my personal favorite, but on campus there's Abbotts and Kinney, there's the West Oak, there's lots of good options for students there. Mm-hmm. Coffee is definitely a must, or tea or hot chocolate if they are so inclined. You know, we take all sorts here in Adelaide. So students might have, you know, an hour or so or maybe 2 hours of tutorials. They might watch a lecture recording online, hang out in the library with some friends, do some study. There's a gymnasium on all of the campuses, so if students are so inclined to do some exercise while they're here, they can, you know, work out, go for a swim, go to the pub, lots of different options. Maybe in the afternoon, if it's a nice day, they head down to the beach, watch the sunset go down over the ocean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really kind of depends on what their interests are. But I think, you know, they can expect to be in class for a couple of hours a day and, you know, just hanging out with friends the rest of the time, I think, and, you know, doing some study in the library.
So you mentioned that they can take either 3 or 4 courses. Let's just stop there right for a little bit. So what's that kind of choice all about?
Oh, just to give students the most flexibility, basically. So the maximum number of courses that students really should take while they're with UniSA is 4 courses. That's the standard full-time load.
Mm-hmm. That would be 30 ECTS, right? So that's the
30 credit points. Yeah, that's the equivalent. Yeah. And 3 courses is for students who maybe don't want to take a full ECTS load in their semester abroad if they don't have to get all the credits back to the home university. It's a little bit cheaper for students to just do the 3 course option as well, which makes it a little bit more of an incentive. Just gives them a bit more flexibility. And of course, you know, if you're all the way in Australia, if you've got a bit more free time, that's fantastic, because the more free time you've got, the more you can get out and see the country and meet friends and socialize. So yeah, different options depending on the students' needs.
Right. And I mean, especially with the raised BAföG funding that we saw last year, where students can now get up to €5,600 towards their tuition fees, that definitely covers kind of the 3-course option, and it goes a long way towards the 4-course option as well. So I think it's really good that UniSA offers this flexibility, and that students who kind of get the maximum amount of BAföG, they can actually get their semester paid for in full, which is cool.
Absolutely. So, yeah, for sure.
Great. All right.
That sounds great. No, I want to come back quickly to the buddy program, because I think I was really intrigued by that, because I think it's a great option for, especially for study abroad students, you know, since they are traveling all the way to the other end of the world. And I feel like some, perhaps German students especially, are concerned about, you know, meeting locals, getting in touch with, you know, making Australian friends. So I think that's a good option. But in general, would you say that Australians, or let's say Adelaideans, are, you know, pretty open to, you know, German students or students from international students in general?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speak for all of the students here, but yeah, definitely, I think like, Aussies are pretty friendly in general, absolutely. Sometimes, you know, you might have to work a little bit harder to kind of get into the inner circle. I guess something that's quite different about a lot of Australians when they come to university is that most Aussies, I mean, many Aussies, tend to go to uni in the same towns they grew up in, so they might already kind of have their social circle. But that being said, they're very, very friendly, very keen to go to the pub, go for a coffee, that kind of stuff. So it's not too difficult to kind of, you know, meet people like that. You know, if you invite an Australian to the pub for a beer after class, like, you know, that's, it's all it really takes to get. We're pretty uncomplicated people in many ways. You know, there's tons of other ways that students might choose to kind of make like more friends while they're here. So as well as our buddies club, which is kind of specific to students who are just here for a semester or a year. There's lots of other kind of student clubs, associations that students can join if they're into like, you know, outdoors or surfing or culture, language, computers, anime, like whatever, like clubs are a great thing to do. And some students actually choose to get a part-time job while they're in Adelaide as well, which is you know, good for the finances and also kind of a nice way of meeting other Australians.
Okay. And then maybe as a like a final question, if students have a week or two after the end of the semester, what would your recommendation be? Let's say they got a van, where should they go? Would it make sense to go all the way maybe to Melbourne to drive over there? Is that a good drive? Is it a boring drive?
No, it's not a boring drive at all. So from the, if a student was to drive, you know, all the way from Adelaide to Melbourne, it takes a while. Like Australia is a big country. Again, for anyone who's not been to Australia before, it's a really, really big place. So if you drive directly from Adelaide to Melbourne, like straight line, don't stop, it's about 9 hours, 8 or 9 hours. Big drive. And that direct drive is not very beautiful with a lot of kind of straight roads, country.
And that's not along the coastline then probably. It's probably kind of cutting through.
Yeah, straight through the middle. So to kind of combat that, if you go along the coastline, that's when it is really spectacular. The name of the drive is called the Great Ocean Road, and there's tons of places to stop along the Great Ocean Road, stop for a couple of days. So yeah, students are keen to kind of explore some of the bigger cities on the East Coast. Absolutely. You know, go along the Great Ocean Road, take a couple of days to go there. The scenery is, yeah, spectacular. You do drive through some wine regions on the way down the coast out of South Australia. And then once you hit that kind of that border between SA and Victoria, it's just really, really magic. So, yeah, some great options. I mean, that's one option. Plenty of things to see and do still within South Australia. I mean, you know, if students are coming to Australia, I think it's a really good chance to see some of the, again, it all comes back to nature with me, but I think, you know, some of the big Australian sites, like Uluru, like up in the centre of the country, like that's just spectacular.
But that's a flight, right? That's not a drive. That's a flight.
many students do drive it. There's a train that goes up that way as well. Or you can fly, but I think driving is not out of the question. You know, camp along the way, maybe go to Cooper Pedy on the way. But if you're going to go to majority of other capital cities, it's a flight. So, you know, you can drive to Perth, but it's about 3 days. You know, you can drive to Sydney, but it's like 2 days. Mm-hmm. So mostly, it's lots of camping along the way or it's a flight.
Okay, cool. So we're almost at the end of the podcast episode, but of course we can't let you go without our this or that question round, or I can give you an alternative. You can sing 99 Red Balloons for us in German.
I will take this or that.
I kind of thought so, but all right.
No one wants to hear
that. All right. Then let's get started with the first of five questions. What do you prefer, Aussie rules football or cricket?
I was the wrong person to answer. Least sports inclined person in the world.
Okay.
If you had to
choose one, let's say you had to go to a game with a bunch of study abroad students who are very, very much inclined to watch sports. What would you? What's more bearable for you?
probably the footy. I think the footy probably would be a bit more of a fun atmosphere. I hope I'm not
shorter as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the footy is kind of a cultural spectacle. Like it's a real spectacle and it's quite unique to Australia. So I think probably the footy.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be my option. But really, I mean, it wouldn't be my first preference either of those two things.
Okay, so I think the next question is easier for you. knowing you a little bit. Food truck or fine dining?
food truck for sure. I mean, look, there's fine dining options, like, you know, as long as you sleeve, that's fantastic. But, you know, for me, it's, you know, it's food truck in the park, like, hands down.
Okay. Maybe just as a side note, I know that you're a vegan. And I know there's a lot of German students who are vegan as well. Yeah. How vegan friendly is Adelaide? Is it easy to live in Adelaide as a vegan?
Yeah, super easy, super easy. So I've been vegetarian now for, I don't know, 15 years or more. And I think probably like around 15 years ago, it might have been a bit trickier in some places. In Adelaide, you know, it's like any other big city. There's lots of options for different people. It's very unusual if I were to go to any kind of restaurant or cafe and they wouldn't have at least a couple of really decent vegan options here. In most of Australia, that's the case. If you go more into the country, it can get a little bit harder. People in the country, cafes and restaurants tend to be a little bit more kind of traditional in many ways. But with that said, it's a pretty progressive country and it's really popular, dare I say it, lifestyle down here. So yeah, it's super easy to get around and find tasty food no matter where you go.
Okay. So then on the countryside or in the countryside, it's harder to get a magic with oat milk.
Well, depending where you go, you know, do your research before you start.
Okay,
you
or just have an espresso.
Maybe.
Okay, all right. So we're staying in this kind of line of questioning. Craft beer or Cabernet?
Ooh, depends on the weather. There is a brewery really close to my house, like dangerously close to my house. It's literally a 7-minute bike ride or like 15-minute, 20-minute walk. It's called Bowden Brewing for anyone who's kind of, you know, following along on the map. They have some of the best, like, locally made craft beers I think you will try. And I have that vouch by a genuine German. So that's not just me saying that, but they're really, really cool, interesting beers. That said, in the winter months, Cabernet, can't go past it. And, you know, I'm a proud South Aussie, so, you know, bit of nice Barossa Cab. That's a pretty special way to end the day, I think, as well. Sorry, that was a terrible answer. I think craft beer because it's...
Yeah, good answer. cozy club concert or big outdoor arena?
Ooh, I think if we can just take that last word away and say big outdoor concert.
Okay, it can be on a field as well. So it's like, yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. So because literally in a couple of days is my favorite festival of the year. It's called WOM Adelaide Festival. It's the World of Music, Arts and Dance. And it's a 4-day music festival. And it's held within the, like, right next to our botanic gardens, basically. So it's really, really big, grassy, parked area with lots of trees and stuff like that. So it's this multi-stage outdoor music festival. And that, to me, is honestly, it's like heaven. So it's not a kind of a big arena show, but it's outdoors, sunshine, trees, grass, music. It's amazing.
Okay. Is it mainly Australian artists or is it international?
No.
Any good headliners that we might know?
Yeah, well, interesting. Sorry. So this year, one of the big headliners is Florence and the Machine, who is one of my favorite bands of all time. But generally speaking, that's a bit of a kind of outlier, I guess. But generally speaking, this particular festival tends to be a bit more like world music. So it's not always kind of like big, well-known bands like Florence. But there's a German band playing this year, at least one German band, Meuter, are playing. Mm-hmm. So I'll be trying to check them out as well when I go there this weekend.
Sounds good. Maybe you can sing 99 Luftballons for them.
I'll request it.
All right. And then final question. In your opinion, what is cuter, wombats or koalas?
You know what? I've never seen a wombat in the wild. So, really? And I've always wanted to, but they're quite elusive. Koalas are just gorgeous, though. Like, probably a koala, and like you can see them pretty regularly. So I think that koalas. I don't know. They're both gorgeous. I'm going to go with koalas, but I mean, don't tell the wombats I said that.
Okay. Okay. Any animals that you like even better than koalas?
Any animals? Okay. Well, this is controversial, but it's like a real controversial hour. I really love magpies. Do you guys like have a magpie reference? Mm-hmm. Do you know what it is? So the songs that they make, I just think they're so beautiful. There's a kind of
it's a type of bird, right? So that's just for the audience. The and they're, I think the only reference I have to magpies really is that they come and steal your food and they're kind of, they attack you when you're jogging and things like that.
Well, look, they can
I think they do in Sydney, so maybe the Sydney magpies are kind of
maybe. I mean, it's
tougher,
a big city that could be quite like competitive there. Magpies, like, they're in the crow family, so like they're really, really smart birds, have a really long memory. So if like if they know you, if they trust you, they see you around, they know you're safe, then like you're safe for generations of magpies, which I just think is magic. There's like quite a big family that lives at my mum's house, and they come in every day and expect to be fed like blueberries and like almonds and stuff like that. So I think the magpies, I might actually love them more than koalas because, yeah, they make a beautiful sound and they're just like really uplifting, I guess. Okay. So I love magpies.
Perfect.
Right. Controversy.
I think if you ever had a band, you should call it Magic Magpies then. Combination of your favorite things.
Yeah, the Magic Maggies. That's good.
That's good, isn't it? Yeah. It's like I'll claim royalties for that name. Anyway, thank you so much. This was a whole lot of fun. I learned a lot of new things about wildlife, about types of coffee.
Coffee culture,
all these things, exactly. And I think Ilias now wants to go to Australia even more than he did before.
For sure, yeah.
Perfect. And where do you want to go?
Adelaide, of course.
Exactly.
No other place than that, yeah.
I know. And it kind of is like the first place where you go in Australia, I think you kind of fall for that place. And it's hard then for another place to kind of take up that spot, so...
Yeah, fair enough. I think it's, Australia has a way of claiming your heart for sure. People are very loyal, like fans of where they land. But I mean, I feel like anyone that comes to Adelaide will fall in love with the place, even if they've been tempted by, you know, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane before. And that's totally fine.
I know. And I mean, I've never been. And I love Melbourne, I must say. I'm definitely more of a Melbourne fan than I am a Sydney fan, which I think Simon and Katie were very sad about when we did our podcast with UDS. But I think then UDS was still undecided between the two. And we haven't had a uni from Melbourne on our podcast yet. So, yeah, so they're losing out. But I really think I'm going to like Adelaide. I mean, you know, I'm hoping to visit next year. And I really think it has a lot of what I like about Melbourne, but I also like the fact it's a little smaller. I love the festival part. I think it's, I mean, there's nothing better than listening to music outdoors with a kind of nice glass of wine or a kind of beer and just being with friends and hanging out. I think that's, I love the fact that Australia has this outdoorsy lifestyle, and it seems like Adelaide is fully embracing that. So,
yeah, for sure. Absolutely. One of the best things to do in the summertime is just head down to the beach with some friends, get some fish and chips, and just like sit on the sand. Don't go for a swim if you don't want to. Just sit on the sand and like watch the sun go down. It's just, it's really quite magic. I quite like it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I cannot wait to have you down here to show you around. To maybe see if you have a preference for Adelaide over Melbourne. If you don't, that's also fine. Melbourne's a nice place.
We'll see. All right. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to see you and speak to you long before that. But for now, it's actually farewell. And thank you so much for joining our podcast today.
Thanks for having me. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. Take care.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ich sehe schon, bald liegt dein Urlaubsantrag für die große Australienreise bei mir auf dem Schreibtisch.
Das kann gut sein. Nach dieser Folge habe ich auf jeden Fall ein weiteres Ziel auf meiner Bucketlist. Aber vorher muss ich mir natürlich den Festivalkalender anschauen, damit ich auch wirklich weiß, wann sich ein Besuch in Adelaide so richtig lohnt.
Tja, da sind unsere Study Abroad Studierenden eindeutig im Vorteil. Die Chance, dass die während ihres Auslandssemesters mehr als ein großes Festival miterleben können, ist doch ziemlich hoch, würde ich sagen.
Ja, das glaube ich auch.
Und auch sonst vermute ich, dass man mindestens ein Semester braucht, um all die Ausflugs- und Freizeittipps von Cat in die Tat umzusetzen.
Mhm. Aber zumindest für einen Magic Coffee dürfte auch im Urlaub ausreichend Zeit sein.
Das will ich doch hoffen. Vielleicht schaffen wir es sogar noch auf dem Craft Beer in die Brauerei bei Cat um die Ecke.
Ja, maybe. Aber nun gut, wenn ihr jetzt auch Lust auf ein Auslandssemester in Adelaide bekommen habt, dann schaut am besten direkt einmal in unsere Shownotes. Dort findet ihr einen Link zum Hochschulprofil der University of South Australia und zu einem Artikel über Adelaide und die Region rundherum. Falls ihr euch ausführlicher zur UniSA oder auch generell zum Auslandsstudium beraten lassen möchtet, meldet euch einfach bei uns. Unsere Kontaktdaten findet ihr ebenfalls in den Shownotes. Unsere Beratung und Bewerbungshilfe ist für euch komplett kostenlos, weil wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Arbeit bezahlt werden.
In der nächsten Folge unseres Podcasts werden wir Ellie Gibson von der University of Essex zu Gast haben, die uns alles über das Study Abroad Programm an ihrer Hochschule erzählen wird. Die University of Essex ist bei Freemovern sehr beliebt, was nicht nur, aber bestimmt auch ein wenig damit zu tun hat, dass es dort nicht nur einen Pub, sondern sogar einen Club auf dem Campus gibt. Mehr dazu erfahrt ihr Ende April direkt von Ellie. Aber erstmal sagen wir vielen Dank fürs Zuhören, bis bald und habt eine gute Zeit.